all the areas, but we can also do that if the committee feels like that, where we can go page by page and then to take you through all the issues. Here we want to just touch on the core areas, and then we are going to also lean heavily on what are the areas that impact on the problem. That would be the approach. There is, of course, in our view, we'll start with cooperative governance. There's a high failure rate and a lack of clarity on the cooperative identity in terms of cooperatives. In this regard, what we have done, we have therefore put within the bill that cooperative values are now in the body of the bill as well as the principles. As you could see, voluntary and open membership are within the bill, so that it's clear to members when they are now going to implement and therefore develop their cooperatives that these are the values that they must adhere to. Voluntary and open membership, democratic member control, member economic participation, autonomy and independence, education and training and information, cooperation among cooperatives, consent for communities. These are the issues that we've now put in the core of the bill, so that now we are saying to cooperatives, thou shalt comply with these things for you to be able to be sustainable. Cooperatives are compelled to comply with the cooperative principles that are 7, which are in page 7, line 21, in terms of the bill before you. And then the bill also proposes the code of good governance for cooperatives, which would be different from the King Code for companies. That will take into cognizance that code of good practice of good governance, the character and the uniqueness and unique nature of cooperatives. To continue the cooperative governance reporting framework for cooperatives, we think there is a level of accountability by directors and management and transparency with members on this regard. Therefore, the bill proposes the cooperative reporting framework for cooperatives that requires, in addition to annual financial statements, the submission for social and management decisions reports. These reports are taking the unique character of cooperatives on board. As you will see, cooperatives have got two aspects in them, the associational aspect as well as the business aspect in it. What these reports, they are therefore covering all those aspects to make sure that a cooperative then can be able to comply in that regard. Cooperative governance and social and management decision reports, and then these are the reports. If we define not be able to be, cannot survive as well having high level of failure is precisely you have secondary properties that are formed, but you don't have operational primary properties that require the services of the secondary properties in the first place for the secondary properties to be able to be established. So I think that this must be attached to. It's a choice of sustainability of properties. Secondary properties formed by secondary properties that are not operational. This is the same issue here. We are insisting that there must be operational ability right up to the vegetation. arbitration, conflict resolution, and liquidation, and we said that head office will be in the DTI with the ability to be mobile to serve all the length and breadth of South Africa. That is what is envisaged by this tribunal, particularly with conflict resolution and all those issues, so that it can move and satisfy all the parts of South Africa. Functions adjudicate to any application made in terms of the Act and make appropriate recommendations, assist with conflict resolution, assist with requested dissolution, winding up or liquidation, assist with enforcement of compliance with provisions of Act, enforcement, and also have, it will have investigating officers to go and investigate any matter that arises in respect of all these particular issues. And then worker cooperative, as I've already alluded to, that there was an abuse on this particular exemption that was provided by the 2005 Act, and then the bill has now dealt with this particular area. It now says that employees and members of worker cooperative, whether a member or a non-member is deemed to be an employee as defined in terms of the Labor Relations Act as well as the Basic Conditions of Employment Act. Exemption will be allowed based on conditions stipulated in regulations to be drafted by the Minister of Trade and Industry in consultation with the Minister of Labor. So what we're saying is that all members of cooperatives must comply with these laws, and therefore they are going to be they are defined as employees, whether member or owner, or also they are all going to be defined as employees, therefore they must comply. That way we are closing that particular loophole where this particular area was abused, where U.S. companies converting their employees with the sole purpose of really circumventing those two laws. And but there will be a mechanism for exemption, because we do recognize that a cooperative in the village of South Africa or in any particular rural part of South Africa could be very much difficult for it to comply with these things. It must then be able to be given a mechanism for it to be exempted to these things by the Minister of Trade and Industry and also the Minister of Labour in that regard. So that's what the law therefore stipulates in that regard. And then there is also a proposal in this bill on the intergovernmental relations framework and the structure. It became clear as we were rolling out cooperatives that they were not clear a framework that governs the relationship between what must happen in the provinces, what must happen in municipalities, what must happen at the national level, and therefore we believe that this framework is going to help us in that regard in terms of the development of cooperatives. Who must do what at what particular level, and how can we coordinate our activities so that they become more effective and we avoid duplication, we avoid things that are standard, we can then streamline our work in this regard. So an appropriate and intergovernmental relations framework must be established in accordance with the Act and in line with other legal requirements. Establishment of the intergovernmental structure is there, and then also the intergovernmental relations. All of these are covered by this particular law, and then clarity is provided on the functions of the intergovernmental structures, i.e. promote cooperative and show coordination on planning, budgeting, provisioning of services, advise ministers and members of the Executive Council on matters relating to cooperatives, etc. Administrative and procedural arrangements must comply with the framework for intergovernmental relations. So those are the issues. And then it also the clarity on the composition of members, it provides clarity on functions of the structure, and it also provides clarity on the frequency. That's what that area provides. It also provides clarity on the establishment of the provincial, interdepartmental, and municipal coordinating structures, functions, and reports, so that we can then be able to streamline the work from all spheres of government and ensure that we don't duplicate each other, and then we can then be able to utilize our resources effectively in that regard. I thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks very much, Mrs. Van der Weber. If you want to say something. the right thing there. And so I don't need you at this point in time address the committee on anything. Thank you.
Thank you. Honourable members, we've heard this proceeding. Honourable Bonnie, it's time now for us to engage. Honourable Bonnie.
Chairperson, I have two questions and one comment. The very first question, I think, is what does the legal advisor herself said on the issue of lactation. She says she doesn't have anything to say other than what just said that the committee press might want to go and further interact with the public as such. Does she mean that this bill was not properly, there was no proper consultation with the provinces, or would she recommend that we do as we wanted to go down to the process and interact with the provinces? My second question, Chairperson, is on the issue of the fertility rate of the cooperatives. And the Chief Director has just said that they've started to structure the Act so that the tax issues are taken into consideration, because most cooperatives were failing because of the tax issues that they were taking into consideration. Can you further explain how one takes impeding or impacting on the failure rate of cooperatives? Because as you find, you know, until now there's also a tribunal to resolve, you know, issues in the cooperatives. As you might know, we know that a lot of cooperatives also do fail because of the inviting of the members as well, in most cases. Can you further explain on those issues? In short, what causes the failure for cooperatives, and how it is, I mean, it is going to improve the situation? And last, Chairperson, I think, as a way of comment, I think the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry, they are for more or less 3 years to go through the comment and everything. As you can see, all this thick document is all about the bill. So it should be really unwise for us to just rubber stamp the issues that we were not familiar with. I think even if we have we rubber stamp at any stage, but let us rubber stamp of the issues that we know what to do. We might not be doing the right thing, or we might be doing the right thing to go to the public and consult the public. But if there are no issues are arising from the public that need the change of this, but if there are issues, then let's do that. In short, I'm saying it should be really unwise for us to understand something that we don't understand at all. Let the department give us time to go through and satisfy ourselves that everything is okay. And that's the comment, Chairperson.
So we need to see where we can assist you and see if perhaps we can make your participation facilitation easier. And that is where we propose, well, at least, at the very least, look at what was already presented at the National Assembly. And that is what I've actually prepared for you today, but if you're doing a proper process, there's no need to do that now. But if this committee is saying this bill, I mean, it's clear that it has financial implications, it's clear that there's talk about intergovernmental cooperation, we must go back, then I would say absolutely, you must. That is what Section 72 of the Constitution requires of you to do. And it is a pity that it's very late in the year where we are now, and that it is the year of cooperatives. It is absolutely a pity. But the legislative process is something that is extremely important. So when I was saying about consultation before, let's maybe finish on that note, it is not that there was not sufficient consultation on this bill. There was extensive consultation. The specific entities that was mentioned, I think the DGR will speak to that rather. But other than that, there was really extensive consultation done on this bill. The next question is what consultation will happen here? And that is actually where my concern was lying. It's the consultation that will happen in the National Council of Provinces. But, like I also was saying, the response that I got from this committee has made my fears go away. I'm quite satisfied that you will facilitate proper public participation. I hope that answers the question as to why it is 75 and why that is not equatable to consultation process. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think just to echo the views of my colleague, Ms. Kulema, that there has been really extensive consultation. The Economic Development Department, yes, you know, we see the same building, there was no way there was a proper consultation with them, even the minister and the official. They did have some clauses in the business, and they changed some. I can quote the worker co-ops, in fact, the definition and how they want to see the treatment of the worker co-op came from the department, the Economic Development Department. When it comes to
really contributes to the failure of cooperatives. So I would just highlight a few and then also deal with the one that was very specifically around the tax issue. One of the things that creates a problem that undermines cooperatives is that the association aspect of the cooperative is very burdensome to those who are running the cooperative in such a way that while you are a manager of the cooperative, on the one hand, you need to manage this democratic process, which is association of members. And also because of the nature with which the cooperatives are, they've got a lot of free riding that tends to take place there. And that free riding is where you've got members who are there, but they are not pulling their weight to ensure the survivalness of the cooperatives. Now, what this bill is doing in that respect, it is now killing that area. You will be given a patronage refund or payment of the wage bill as a member of the worker cooperative based on your input. Whereby, because by virtue of membership, you are now automatically entitled to income. Your income, you have to work for it, and it will be proportional to the input you put in on the cooperatives. So that's what this bill is beginning to really clarify all those issues. And it's beginning also to say to members of cooperatives that there will be very stringent policies that the cooperative must develop on how you handle your cash, how you handle all the issues of operationally running the cooperatives. And these are matters that we're going to expand them in detail, Chairperson. In the Code of Good Practice, you will see we've got a branch of Code of Good Practice or these Codes of Good Governance, where we stipulate a cooperative must have a policy on how it handles cash, a policy must have a corporate of how it remunerates its members. A cooperative must have a policy on how. So all of these issues that undermine the cooperatives, you're going to find that now they're going to be history, because cooperatives will know that these are the instruments that they must put in place, and these instruments must have these particular pillars for them to be credible, for them to be able to be in line and ensure the sustainability of cooperatives. At the moment, everybody's not clear what they need to do. They form a cooperative, but they don't know how to manage all these issues. All these issues are going to be now history. We're going to bring clarity and sanity into that particular space so that there will be no free riding. Everybody will have to work and earn a living, even within a cooperative, while at the same time they're having the democratic aspect. So because of these things, cooperatives were riddled by conflict. And therefore, that's why, therefore, now we are proposing the tribunal. The act says the first part of call for conflict resolution is the cooperative itself. But you find that in most instances, the cooperative can resolve the conflict in itself, and then it goes outside. And therefore, we are saying that the tribunal will have to come and resolve this conflict using all these particular frameworks that we're putting in place and making sure that everybody now walk the talk. If you want to be the cooperative, you're going to have to be a collective entrepreneur. There is no free lunch there. There is a concept called, in economic terms, collective entrepreneur. That's what cooperatives are all about. These are entrepreneurs who have come together collectively to pursue the entrepreneurial opportunities. And also, they've got what we call mobilization of social capital, which is the social aspect, the social capital, which is now mobilized, which is based on economies of scale and number, to pursue this particular opportunity that they require. So in that respect, that's one of the causes of the failure of cooperatives. The other one was the fact that people had misunderstanding when they were going to cooperatives that it's about me running the rest. This idea that the collective nature of the cooperative is not appreciated. managers and also board members of cooperatives to attend courses, to be able to do bookkeeping, to manage their affairs, to also understand the cooperative principles, and also to understand the collective entrepreneurship within the cooperative. All of these things people are going to now be trained, and these are the issues that undermine this. Of course, there are issues of mentorship that, and the lack of infrastructure. Where you find the other issue in the rural area is the issue, that's why now that is my honourable member has raised the controversy. The biggest issue raised with controversy is this issue. Land tenure is the biggest problem for cooperatives. Businessmen, they want to start businesses, they go to the chief, they want to secure a land. And then they start their business and the business is up and running. And then down the line, the same chief now, either for whatever reason, he wants to take up the land and then completely undermine the cooperative's sustainability. These are the issues, even in the rural areas, that are undermining the sustainability of cooperatives. We have engaged controllers on those particular issues and we are still going to continue engaging them so that they become resolved. Because in the agricultural, in most rural parts of South Africa, that is the biggest problem. You find that cooperatives, there's not even a contract that is signed to say, we're giving you the lease for 30 years, 40 years, and then it can go to court. And then people can use it as a security to be able to engage in their businesses. It's a really needy situation where a particular chief can come one day, give you the land, and tomorrow and take it away. These are the other issues that undermine the sustainability of cooperatives. And then also, just to come back to the... We will simplify the bill. We're going to have a simplified booklet with all languages. We want all the languages for this bill to be expressed. All the languages in South Africa so that it's simplified for people to understand it and they can be able to understand their law and implement it and roll it out in the economy. And that extent, of course, I wouldn't argue that it could be understood by everybody. It could be understood in different degrees, depending on the person's levels of literacy and levels of understanding. Therefore, that level, that is the issue. But as we engage on different languages and simplicity, we want to reach to the people that are right there on the ground. Now, the issue of ownership, I'm very glad that the issue of ownership has been raised. Because that is the problem that has been dealt in cooperatives, the collective ownership, and the lack of it being understood what it means within the cooperative. And therefore, the bill has clarified that issue in my understanding, and then we're going to issue codes of practice to explain it, how it should be managed, and then it doesn't give you automatic rights that all of a sudden, because you are a member, you then can have a right to income. No, they are certain activities that you need to engage in so that you can be able to generate income depending on the form of that cooperative, whether it is a service cooperative or whether it is a worker cooperative. If it is a worker cooperative, the issue is labor power. You must put your labor power in and then you get the income you can bring to the labor power that you put into that cooperative, even though you are a member. Those are the key issues. And then, of course, there are going to be exemptions. And these exemptions we want to decentralize the decision making so that people in the rural areas can walk into our satellites and be able to secure these exemptions. That's why we're going to develop very clear conditions under which the exemptions can be given. And that is going to be the regulation, and the law calls for it. That's going to be the regulation that's going to expel it out, and we're going to make sure that we decentralize that particular app. We want to see all support decentralized for cooperatives and reached and to be reached to the people. Hence we want municipalities, hence we want controlessa leadership, hence we want everybody to be on board with the cooperatives. Because if we don't decentralize support, it becomes very difficult for our cooperatives to access it, and we want to streamline it, hence the cooperative development agency. Most departments do not have, I must say, do not have support for cooperatives. They rely on our support. And it's only a pocket few that do have. And there are those that are going to be exempted. Let me make an example. National Treasury
That's why I'm saying, we need to discuss how do we really go down to the people. Maybe we need another strategy of going to the people. But the one that we have, offices, we come from Northern Cape. It's a pastor. There's a senior office in DR. But if you move from one town to DR, with your 200-300 kids, you cannot say people must accept that. So these are the things that are practical that you must do in trying to move forward. Hoshi and controllers, and then honor family.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. I just want to say our constitution did not forget the role of the traditional leaders. If you check on chapter 12, they said something about them. And now, 12 and 11, thank you, Chairperson. My Chairperson is going to constitutional review. So now I can hear that there's a tension that is being caused or believed to be caused by the traditional leader. But then now the object of the bill is to provide for cooperative principles and for compliance with cooperative principles. But then if these people are not being consulted, how will they know the rules? And I want the chief director to say some of the traditional leaders, because it's not in all. You see, some of the traditional leaders really comply. What you say now really read my eyebrows. I think when I go to attend the meeting of controllers, I must just talk to them. But the main important thing is to go and consult with them. Tell them what is it that we expect out of them. Because if they don't know, they will do what they think is right. You see? The tension is being caused by this.
Chairperson, we now raise the question of Latinia. How are we going to fund or lend money on a credit basis when there's a land tenure issue? And that is quite a serious consideration. So does the bill provide for it, or is that a hiccup in the bill or a shortfall in the bill that must be addressed?
The matter came up in the trading industry committee. The honorable members engaged with it, and the resolution they undertook is that this issue must be addressed within the laws of the land tenure laws. And therefore, we want within those laws that they must be amended to accommodate and provide security to institutions like cooperatives. It is not going to be a matter that could be appropriated by this bill and written in this bill, but it has to be written in the laws that governs land and land tenure in South Africa. And therefore, that's what the committee then resolved to raise that matter also further to bring its weight on it in that particular matter, so that we can see an alignment between the cooperative bill and those particular laws that deals with land tenure in South Africa. Yes, that's how it is. That was a proposal.
Now that is